Deer, elk, and moose across the country are coming down with a harrowing fatal disease. It starts with weight loss and ends with stumbling and drooling as the animal's brain tissue deteriorates. It's bad for them, bad for hunting, and it could even be bad for us. Over the next few days, Ray Ellen Bischel will be taking a look at the disease, starting today with this question: what exactly is it?
We'll start in northern Colorado. This area is considered the epicenter of the now international animal epidemic.
You're there, right here somewhere.
Heather Swanson and Ryan Priereski monitor wildlife with the city of Boulder. They're standing in knee-high golden grass on a slope where the Rocky Mountains start slumping into the plains. The ecologists have their binoculars out, and they're watching a herd of mule deer.
Gosh, what's going on, little one?
A mule deer fawn is running circles around the rest of the herd. It has the boing of a muscular slinky toy.
Wired. It's just doing laps.
A few others are rearing up on their hind legs and kicking each other. The other animals are just hanging out in the shade. It looks like a beautiful spring morning, and the animals look healthy. But all is not what it seems.
So that is buck number 46. He is positive.
So is doe number 22.
She's positive as well. Doesn't show any symptoms. She looks perfectly fine.
Symptoms of chronic wasting disease. If there are any mountain lions around, though, they'd be able to tell. Swanson and her colleagues looked at that phenomenon in a study a few years ago.
And the mountain lions were definitely preferentially selecting deer that had chronic wasting disease over those that were negative. And for most of the ones that they had killed, we had not detected any chronic wasting disease symptoms yet.
Unlike us, the mountain lions know that while a deer might look sleek and alert, it's actually a ticking time bomb. That's one of the weird things about this disease. It isn't like the usual viral or bacterial illness. The infection can sit in a herd, crawling from animal to animal for years before people notice that anything is wrong.
And kind of through time degrades essentially their brain tissue.
That's when things can go downhill fast. Swanson says it could be a matter of weeks before that sleek, alert doe starts to droop and drool as the infection gnaws holes into its brain.
That seems to happen pretty rapidly, where to our eyes they look fairly healthy, and within a number of weeks they reach that point and then they're gone.
Lately, the media has been calling it zombie deer disease, and there are at least three bills being considered at the national level right now to fight the infection. A few weeks ago, Wyoming Senator John Barrasso got in front of a congressional hearing to introduce one of them.
Today, I'm here to talk about a different kind of health crisis that's facing our nation.
He told lawmakers that the neurodegenerative disease is infecting deer, elk, and moose, and that it's been found in captive and wild animals in at least 26 states in the U.S. It's very contagious.
And always fatal.
He worries there's still a lot we don't know about the disease, including exactly how it spreads and whether it's a danger to humans. But we do know this.
Unchecked, this disease could truly be catastrophic for wildlife and for local economies.
On the same day that Barrasso was talking to his colleagues in Congress, an infectious disease specialist named Michael Osterholm was speaking to state lawmakers in Minnesota.
This is a kind of a worst-case nightmare.
And it's a nightmare that's hard to explain. See, chronic wasting disease is not your garden variety infectious disease. It's not bacterial, viral, or even fungal. Osterholm says it's caused by something called prions.
If Stephen King could write an infectious disease novel, he'd write it about prions.
They're just very different from traditional pathogens.
That's Caitlin Wagner. She studies prions at Colorado State University. She says the prions that cause chronic wasting disease start out as normal proteins. All mammals have them, sitting on the surfaces of our healthy cells. But the difference between a good prion and a very bad one is their shape. One way to think about it is origami.
Yeah, no, that's a perfect example.
Say healthy prion proteins are shaped like origami cranes. If an abnormal origami crane comes along with a bent wing, the normal origami cranes will copy it. One by one, their wings will bend too. When enough healthy proteins have been bent out of shape, those misshapen proteins can gather in clumps, killing off cells in the animal's body.
And that causes them to get sick.
It leaves the brain full of holes like a sponge. And these prions don't just stop at the brain. They can end up all over the place, in urine, feces, blood, saliva. They can stick around in the environment, too, for decades. The disease is now showing up not only in the U.S., but also in three Canadian provinces, South Korea, Finland, even in Swedish moose and Norwegian reindeer. And it all started here, in the Mountain West. Or did it? More on that next time. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Ray Ellen Bischel.